people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Shift and Steer. People, places, racing, all the stuff that you want to know about. And we're the guys who are bringing it to you. I'm Brad Fanshawe, and on the other end of the phone, the telephonic line is none other than Aaron Hagar.
Aaron Hagar.
How you doing, Double A Ron?
Bradley underscore Fanshawe.
Yes, that's right. So I guess Matt deserted us again. He had a chance to go drive a Mustang, and, you know, you give him a chance to drive a Mustang, and he's out of here. So
now, that's funny, because he told me that he was going to San Francisco to get some acupuncture and cupping done.
Really? Well, maybe so.
Drive a Mustang.
Yeah, no, drive a Mustang.
Man, he's so full of it.
So, we'll see what really happens. Let's see the photographic proof. So, hey,
I want to see pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to start out this show with telling you what I'm driving, because I'm on my way to Arizona as soon as we're off the air, and I'm going over there for a Man Seeks Adventure trip. And my other podcast, Man Seeks Adventure, that I do with Heather Storm from Garage Squad on Velocity and with Dave Merrick, who's the head of Acura Design, they sent me over a 2018 Acura MDX Sport Hybrid all-wheel drive.
Those are nice. Those are really nice. Man, you get to drive all the cool stuff.
I know.
Am I ever going to see anything up here in Tahoe?
They don't.
Here's the new Trail 70. Yeah.
They don't go to Tahoe. That's the problem.
Man, I got to come visit you guys more often.
I have not driven this yet. They literally just delivered it, and it's got the 3-liter V6 VTEC engine. And it has a 7-speed dual-clutch transmission, and poking my head in it, it looks like it has a super nice interior. I mean, I saw that it has the touch display, the Sirius XM satellite, Bluetooth, push-button ignition. It's got all the bells and whistles, beautiful tan leather interior, and it's a bright cherry red with black wheels. So I'll let you know on the next show what I think of driving this, but from the looks of it,
those things are cool, and they haul butt too. Those things are tuned real nice, and they haul out. My wife really likes one of those, and we looked at them, and it was like starting price was like $50,000 on those things.
Yeah, this one's right? Stickered out at $59,145.
So, boy, are they nice.
Yeah,
they're really
So I'm going to drive to Arizona, check it out. Yeah. It's a great opportunity to get behind the seat, behind the steering wheel of this Acura MDX, and I don't know. I'm expecting very good things from it, Aaron. So.
Yeah, you almost said behind the seat, which means George was driving.
Or Charlotte, which I know Charlotte. She, you know, when we were younger, she used to share the driving.
No, you and Charlotte want to be in the back seat. You want George driving.
You know what? Wouldn't that be awesome if you had a self-driving car and you just put your dog up there and people are like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Autonomous and had a dog driving.
Hey, man, I'm going to roll right into it because we've got a lot to get done and a little bit of time to do it. I want to tell you about Turtle Wax. After 71 years of car care innovation, Turtle Wax is really bringing the heat this summer with their new Carnauba Tropical Wash and Wax. It's 3 times more Carnauba friction-reducing detergents, and it's infused with Caribbean Crush aromatics that activate when you mix it up. The result is rich, scented foam that is like taking your car on a tropical vacation. And if you're looking for an easier way to apply that rich Carnauba shine, check out Turtle Wax Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax. It has 3 times the Carnauba. Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax provides not only great shine, but has polishing agents that clean while you wax. And summer's bug and tar season, so pick up some Turtle Wax Bug and Tar Remover. It easily removes both bugs and tar, as well as other stubborn spots that are holding back your car's summer shine. Reach for Turtle Wax. to have a car that looks as hot as summer feels. Turtle Wax, trusted innovation inside and out. And let me tell you what, Turtle Wax is with it because it has been a hot summer season. And, you know, later in the show, we're going to talk about some of that, Aaron, some of those hot summer shows that are coming up. And I know there's one of them you're going to go to. You're going to go to one of them, aren't you?
Yep. When this airs, I will be there starting Tuesday all the way through Saturday at Hot August Nights here in Reno. We're going to have the Woody Wagon and the Torchmate booth at the Grand Sierra Resort. But, yeah, the Reno Hot August Nights, it's like the map is, like, all over Reno.
It is. Well, let's
I think
fill
Sparks. I think Virginia City, right? It's, like, Everett, Gardnerville, Genoa. It's, like, the whole region of Nevada right here.
I remember the first time I ever went to that show years and years ago, and I thought, oh, yeah, it's in
you
Reno.
You introduced me to Pete Chaporis there. That's the first day I met Pete Chaporis, remember?
Oh, that's right. I brought Pete up. Yeah. Well, see, we used to come up there.
Yeah, that was the first time I met Pete.
We used to come up there, oh, man, in the 90s, in the early 90s. We'd bring our Boyd semi up there, and we'd do a big display and everything. And then we quit going, and then Pete and I came back doing the radio show up there, and that's right. We got you a place to park your car out front of the Grand Sierra. And that's right, man. That was a lot of years ago, dude.
So, yep, that was day one, and Pete and I became instant friends. So
well,
I
that's
say
not
that
what
was,
he said, but, you know. He well, said he had to warm up to it. It took him 15 minutes, he said. So, well, remember we went over to some other hotel, and we sat in the bar, and we just, like, sat in there in the air conditioning, and we just chatted cars and everything for about three hours.
For hours,
So
I got pictures of that too. I was reminiscing recently, you know. We miss Pete.
We miss Pete.
That was great though. Well, it's gotten big, you know. I think there's some new people running it last couple of times, and it's bigger than ever, man.
Huge mungus. Awesome. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about something that's not as good, but it could happen at one of these shows, and that's car theft, dude. Car theft is big. Aaron, have you ever had a car stolen?
No, but it sucks. I can only imagine.
Well, you know what? I luckily, knock on wood, have not either. And now Matt would tell you that's just because I never drive my cars. But he's not here to tell that, so the hell with him. But I've had friends and people that have worked for me that have had their cars stolen. And... The other day, somebody mentioned that their car had been stolen, and I was just like, what? How does that happen? And some people, it's their own fault. You know, like I knew one guy who left his car idling at a Circle K with the keys in it.
Oh,
I just ran in to grab a big gulp, you know, and it was like, it was gone when I came out. And I'm like, what do you think? But then I've had other friends who I've got to say, man, anything at the Pomona Fairgrounds must be ripe because three guys I know have had cars stolen out of the parking lot at the Pomona Fairgrounds. One was there for the drag races. One was there for the Grand National Roadster Show. And another one was there for some other event. And one of them was a Porsche. It was a guy that worked for me at Boyd's, and he was so proud of that Porsche. He had just finished it, and he drove it out there for the Roadster show and came out, and it was gone. And then another guy had like a mid-'80s El Camino. He was out there for the drag races, and this thing was nice. It was a guy that worked for me at Boyd's, and it was slammed. It was set up so nice. We had a set of Boyd wheels on it. And this thing was beautiful. It had hand-rubbed lacquer black paint. I mean, it was really nice. It was gone. And, you know, now, I will tell you, I've almost had one car stolen. I might have mentioned this before on the show, but years and years ago, this was in the 80s, I had a Monte Carlo Super Sport. And my wife, Charlotte, and I had gone to the Coliseum when they used to do Supercross. Remember when they used to do Supercross?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd go through the arches and everything? At Vision Streetwear, we used to sponsor some of the guys. And so one of the big teams said, yeah, hey, we'll leave you passes. So the parking there, have you ever been to an event there?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
And, I mean, horrible parking. I mean,
oh, yeah.
There's
parking
just no parking.
Nightmare.
I saw the Rolling
Park at a buddy's house, take a shuttle in.
I saw, well, see, nowadays you can just Uber in, but back then there wasn't that. And I remember I saw Guns N' Roses with the Rolling Stones there. Now, that was a good concert.
Oh, wow.
I was in row 3 dead center, sitting next to Lindsey Buckingham and some other rock stars. And it was a good one. But that aside, I was there, and so what you used to do back then was the gas stations around, they would shut down selling gas, and they would sell you for $25, you would park in their lot. And that was like the safest place because it wasn't in some dark lot. It wasn't in somebody's backyard.
Right,
And you weren't parking on the street. It was in a well-lit lot. Well, my car, my Monte Carlo SS, it was lowered, had Boyd wheels on it, and, you know, it was a nice-looking car. And so we walk the quarter mile or whatever it was to the stadium, get up, and, of course, no tickets. And, you know, this was before cell phones and all that, so, you know, we're like, oh, great, now what do we do? So we wait a little while to see if they bring them down. You know the gig. You've been to enough concerts.
Right. Oh, and yeah. Oh, yeah.
They didn't show up. The race was starting, and so I said, ah, let's just split. I'll just call the guy tomorrow and just tell him they weren't here. And so we're walking back. We're about a block from the gas station, and I go, is that somebody sitting in our car? And sure enough, there's some dude in there, and he's popping the ignition. And so I couldn't just bolt because I had Charlotte with me and not going to leave her standing in the middle of, you know, L.A. at night. And so I grab her by the hand. We start kind of jogging, and I'm going, hey, hey. And the guy kind of casually looks up like, I don't really care a whole lot, starts putting all his tools back in his toolbox. And as I come running up, he just kind of turns around. He's got a wrench in one hand and his toolbox in the other hand. And I'm like, that's my car. And he didn't say a word. He just spun around and walked away. And
wow.
And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, my ignition, the whole steering column's busted where the wires are pulled out. But he was just short. If my tickets would have been there, I would have come back to no car. And
no doubt. Holy
so God. I was so happy that my tickets weren't there that night. And the funny thing was, first thing I think of is, I'm calling the cops. I call the cops, and it was LAPD, and they go, well, did he steal it? And I go, no. Well, then what's the problem? You know, I'm like, they go, just call your insurance.
There you go.
Yeah, just call your insurance company and tell them about the damage. But there's, you know, we're not going to send a car out if he didn't steal it. And I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, especially if he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so. But anyway.
See, that's where you need one of those bolos, right? Is that what they call them, a bolo? It's like those two balls with a rope in between. Get that sucker swinging, you know, throw it at his legs, you know, hog tie him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had some zip ties in there or some duct tape.
Yeah, but the way he was so casual about
it. He had his own tool.
I was like, hey, yeah, you go ahead and leave. I'm not going to mess with you. You got a big wrench in your hand.
Yeah, so, of course. Yeah, he's got a big wrench. And
plus,
a
I'm in his part of town. I'm not in my part of town.
Yeah, really.
But
well, you know what we should do, Brad? We should have a parking facility next time and just have a bunch of shipping containers.
Yeah.
Charge, you know, $20 for shipping, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant to put the cars in and then ship them overseas. So, hey, so anyways, I found this article online, top 10 markets for vehicle theft, you know, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, those items change every few years. You know, what's preference, what's the market, what's easy to get into. So, yeah, if you've got a current list, I'm real curious about that.
Well, you know what's interesting? Number one on the list, we'll get to that. But the more I hear, it seems like they have a lot of crime in this city. And, I mean, all kinds of crime. So, we'll get to that. Number 10 on the list. With a whopping 580 car thefts per 100,000 people is a place I bet you'd never imagine.
New York City?
Springfield,
Alabama?
Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Wow, yeah, I wouldn't think that. Although I don't know Springfield very well.
Although I think Springfield is just across from St. Louis, so that's probably not that, big a deal. But, hey, California made the list. California made the list several times, actually.
Oh, so this is a list of cities, not cars stolen.
The top cities with car thefts, yes. And where do you think number 9 on the list is with 604 car thefts per 100,000 people?
604. I have no idea. This is way out of my wheelhouse.
Have any idea where Yuba City, California is?
Yuba City. I know. I don't actually.
I don't either.
Northern, central, southern.
But
probably southern. Right?
But don't park your car there, okay? And also, don't park your car in Stockton or Lodi, California.
Yeah, Stockton, I would think. Lodi, really? Huh?
Yeah, Stockton and Lodi are number 8 on the list with 613 car thefts per 100,000 people. But you know what's right behind it? Aaron?
Huh.
Do you know? Did you fall asleep there? Do you know what's right behind it?
Well, no. A given. You asked me a question.
What's scary, dude, is how many times California comes up on this list, because we're also number 7 with Modesto, California, with 706 per 100,000. And we're at number 6 at Bakersfield, California, with 734 car thefts per 100,000. And
wow, those are all Central California, man. Jeez.
I know. It's they must need some mass transportation there, huh?
Yeah.
But I guess the moral of that story is, don't leave a nice car or just about any car sitting on the street there. I mean, unless you've got an alarm and a club and a this and a that, because it's probably still going to get stolen. But you know what?
No doubt.
Let's go back to Missouri. Let's go to St. Joseph, Missouri, who makes the midpoint on the list at number 5 with 749 car thefts per 100,000 people.
Wow.
Now,
that's a lot of cars.
Hey, man, this city's been in the news quite a bit this week, and not for good reasons. And I hate to pile on because they've been having all the fires up there, but Redding, California is number 4 on the list with 751 car thefts per 100,000. So,
Now, how many, what's the population of Redding? You say every,
I don't know. But I know for every 100,000 people, there's probably 300,000 people there or something. So you probably have 1,500 cars stolen every year. But
that's
a lot of cars.
Yeah, it is a lot of cars.
Now, we're getting into the top 3 here. And what we're going over, in case you just joined us, are, places that have lots of car thefts. And number 3, you know what? Pueblo, Colorado. 812
really?
Car thefts per 100,000. Now, I have a little theory on this one. I have a theory on this one. And what it is that, guys are going like, oh, dude, man, I want to get a buzz on, man. Let's get up to Denver. I don't have a car. Do you got a car? No, I don't got a car. We got to make our way up to Denver, man. Let's just steal one and go up there. So they can go buy some pot, man. It's legal there.
Oh, boy.
So
I don't know, Brad. I don't buy into that theory. But I am curious.
I think it's the best theory ever.
What is it? It's like Subaru on the top list of the car thefts?
Oh, no. Okay, how about this one? Number 2, and it's give me your theory on why it is here. Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, Alaska?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, what's your theory there? Why are they number 2 on the list?
Because they can get away with it. because it's right next to the shipping ports, and they can put it on a boat and see ya.
So you don't think that it's some guy walking home from the bar, and he's like, "Damn, it's cold."
Gets in the wrong car.
No, he's like, "Damn, it's cold out. Damn it!" He goes, "Man, I'm going to get frostbite. I'm just going to steal that truck over there and drive it home."
It's running.
Yeah,
it's running with the heater on.
Yeah because if they turn it off, it's going to freeze up. The block's going to split.
And, there you go.
So, all right. Word of number one, that city that I told you about that has in the news all the time. You watch any of the police shows, you watch any of them, and it's like, man, there's so much crime there. There is so much drug crime there. And you really wouldn't think of it.
You'd think Miami.
You'd think Chicago. You'd think like
Los Angeles.
The Bronx. You'd think L.A. But no, it is Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have big problems there. I went there, oh gosh, a few years back, and I was told everywhere I went, oh, don't go there. I wouldn't go over there. Yeah, they have a lot of drug problems there. But theirs are out of control, dude. I mean, what's amazing is that the footnote says that they have actually decreased this year by a small percentage. They have 1,096 car thefts per 100,000 people.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
So
Do we have, like, make models of cars stolen, like most popular?
No, that's not on here. That's just telling us.
I'd be curious if it's contemporaries or classic cars or, you know, what? There's motorcycles in that category, you know?
It's probably whatever they can get there.
Side by side?
I mean, is it,
snowmobiles?
So now tell me, I'm trying to find your city on this list because the one I do have broken down is California. And I'm trying to find the closest city to you here, Aaron. And I'm not finding anything.
Yeah, I'm in Lake Tahoe, so probably Reno's the closest big city.
Yeah, but I'm talking California cities. What's the closest?
Oh, California, sorry. Sacramento is probably the closest big city. We've got Cameron Park, Folsom. You know, we've got all those in between, but
Sacramento comes in at 44 nationwide. Sacramento, Roseville, Arden, Arcade. They are at 9,809 thefts last year.
Wow.
Now, you kind of look through this list. San Francisco, Oakland, and Hayward have 27,000 if I round it up.
Wow.
But get this one. Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim. I like how that's Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim. It's, you know, 61,000 car thefts.
Wow. That's a lot, man.
That's a lot. That's a lot of car thefts.
And that's your backyard, literally.
Oh, crap. Somebody just took off in my car, man.
Hey, Brad, I'd recommend you take a second look out the window.
Now, you know what? Have you ever, in any of your cars, have you ever put any disabling devices on them?
Well, here's the thing. I don't really need to because you'd have to be a savant to even start any of my cars because I've got all these weird, quirky cars, and they are really hard to start. They all have extreme personalities, shall we say.
I've driven a couple of them.
I know, right? It takes someone pretty out of the ordinary to be able to start them.
Now that
and
you mention it.
The other thing is a lot of them are really slow.
I remember when I drove it in Reno at Hot August Nights years back, and you went, and I go, "Hey, can I take it back over to the hotel?" And you said, "Yeah, sure, okay." So when you get in, you've got to put your arm around the steering column. You've got to kind of hold the lever over so that it reads that it's in park while you turn that, and then pump it five times because if you don't pump it five times, So you're absolutely right.
It's so true. People come to the shop and I'll fire up one of the vehicles and I'll go, "Okay, it's going to take 3 starts." So, you know, and then it's like on the third one or on the fourth one, it always starts. I'm like, "Yeah, there you go."
It's funny how cars get like that, ones that aren't modernized, because like I remember my Chevelle in high school. If I got in it and I pumped it once and tried to start it, it wouldn't start. If I pumped it three times, yep. If I pumped it twice and then started it, bam, every time, it would just fire yep. over, you know? But,
plus mine sits, so sometimes it got dead batteries or now the ethanol's in the fuel, it separates a little bit, you know.
Now, I'll tell you a little known fact about what we used to do to the cars to give them a little bit of security at Hot Rods by Boyd. And it was pretty interesting. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you about something else that's weird. And think of all the weird things found in cars. I'm not talking about your garden variety petrified French fries or melted crayons or errands like, you know, five-year-old, things that he had.
Yeah, do tell.
That he had at Cabo. What? It was the take-home bag from the Cabo Wabo restaurant that he left under the seat.
A bear would have got that on day one, man. A bear would have got that on day one.
I'm talking more like snakes, bizarre trinkets, kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about, folks. Another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE on tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. And they're also OE on a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now Continental is launching the aftermarket Multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. Belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE Technology Series Multi-V belt for 98% of vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. That means there's 2% that you're just out of luck. But don't worry about
that.
Which
will be all my cars.
Because 98% of you can. Hey, if you don't have a V-belt, you don't even have to worry about it. So, hey, you get enough surprises working on cars and trucks. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. So, all right, now that you've all been holding on the edge of your seats, I'm going to tell you about some of the security that we did at Hot Rods by Boyd. No, we had a guy there, Petey, and Petey... was
bred rattlesnakes.
He was in
Scorpion?
The assembly area. And what he used to do is come up with all these little hidden micro switches. And so, like, for instance, let's say it was a 44 and it had an ashtray, okay? He would hide an ashtray. I mean, our the ashtrays on those pivot down. So when you pivot it down, the back goes up. And he would put a micro switch so that the micro switch, when it was depressed, it would complete the ignition circuit. So unless you own the car or knew about it, you could do anything you wanted. But if you didn't have the ashtray open when you tried to start it, it wouldn't start.
Oh, smart.
And he would do little things like that all over where, like, you know, an ashtray was a very... good. So see, now anybody wants to steal a Boyd car, they're all going to try and do it with the ashtray open. So, but no, he had somewhere he had disabled the lighter and you had to push in the lighter and there was actually no longer a lighter. It was a micro switch.
All kinds of cool. Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing you can do with muscle cars. And you should, because if you've got a really nice car, you know, if somebody really wants to steal it, they're going to steal it. I always say that because, you know, I said I've never had a car stolen, and I just remembered I did have a car stolen, Aaron. It was a 500 SL Mercedes.
Oh, yeah.
That was slammed.
I would think that's a big one.
It was slammed down. It was black. I had it on really nice wheels, and it made me think about it when I said people are going to steal them if they want to steal them. I went to a restaurant, and I was with my wife. Came out after dinner, gave the valet my ticket, and he goes, let me get the manager. And I said, what for? And he goes, well, you're asking for your car. And I said, yeah. And I thought, oh, somebody hit it or what, you know, or they wreck it. The manager comes out and he goes, sir, you did not call for the tow truck to come get your car? And I go, no. And I thought he was kidding. And the dummy valet, a flatbed pulled up and said, hey, we're here to pick up that black Mercedes. The guy said it wouldn't start. The guy gives him the keys and lets him haul it away. I go, You had the keys. Gosh. How could I call and say it wouldn't start? Now, tell me that they weren't in on that one. Because it was. And when the police came, they just said, they go, you're never going to see that car again. It's already in a container down in Long Beach and headed somewhere else. And he goes, if that's not the case, it's in a million pieces. And and I was like, man, I forgot all about that. I think I blocked it from my memory. So,
holy cow. Yeah, that's definitely one to hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so ridiculous. It's like, come on. You guys didn't know that? Wow. So, anyways, but
man, so you never did get it back, right?
Nope, it was gone. Never saw it again. It was gone forever.
Wow.
Everybody thought, because it was when the new body style came, when they redesigned it dramatically, and
yeah.
I had one of the very first ones. I had it on order before they had them, and you know, I had like one of the first ones in LA, and we immediately slammed it, put it on wheels, and I. You know, like they said, it probably went over the Middle East. You know, somebody else won.
Wow.
So it.
Hey, you know, speaking of which, remember when we talked about the James Bond car a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right. So I was watching something, a documentary, and I forget what the name of the car is, but they have two versions out. They just released them, and it's a supercar, the first supercar made in the Middle East. Right. So they went to this museum in the Middle East. And they had this car in there being showcased for all these, you know, very higher ups and the Middle Eastern community, and to come and see it. But it was in a classic car museum, and sitting in that classic car museum was that James Bond car.
The one that we talked about being missing?
Yeah. Yeah. So remember in the article, well, one of the mentions was that, yeah, it may be in the Middle East. We're not really sure. Well, I was watching a documentary, and it's sitting in a museum in the Middle East, and they did not say it was a replica. They said it was an original car.
Well, now there
including
were
including the original James Bond car, the original DB. You know, I'm going, well, wait a minute. Here's a documentary on. I think it was on Amazon.
But there were two of them, Aaron. There was the DB5 that was actually used for all of the beauty shots. The one that's missing is one of the stunt cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they
understood that then.
So I think they knew that one was over there, but the other one is the one they're trying to find, and they think, and they do think that one's in the Middle East too. So
okay, so the other one they do think is in the Middle East, but this one's confirmed as being there. I figured something had to be clear, and I just misunderstood it. But here I am watching a documentary like days later, and I'm like, hey, there it is. What the heck?
I know. It's like, wait a minute. Aaron Hagar solves the mystery.
Yeah.
Talks about it on his podcast, and now he's solved it. So.
Yeah. So the car was called the Lycan. That's right. I was watching a documentary on the Lycan car.
So hey,
I don't know if you heard of that.
Have you been keeping up with like all the buzz about flying cars and stuff like that?
I haven't been keeping up, but they've been popping up on my feeds. Yeah, I just haven't dug in because it's, you know, still a little early, shall we say, all these drone cars. Interesting stuff.
Well, I was reading about one called the Black Fly.
Oh, and right. Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
It's a firm that's backed by one of the guys who founded Google, Larry Page, and Google's like former VP of knowledge on its board. They got a lot of big money and big time guys at it, and they say that it's going to be on sale next year and that you can buy it for like the price of an average SUV.
Yeah, but it's got like what without the I want to say FAA. No, is it FAA? No, that's radio. But it's only got like a 10-mile range or 10-acre range or something.
I don't know. I'll have to dig into it. But what I do know is that why are they calling it a car? Because it doesn't have wheels.
No, there's nothing about it.
So it's basically like you said, it's a drone.
It's a drone.
You know?
It's a drone.
I mean, it's
cool.
Mobile
drone.
You know, I mean, that's cool, but, you know, it doesn't have the accessories of a regular car. I mean, you know, you've got, you know, like Toyota's flying car has no wheels. Daimler's helicopter doesn't have any wheels. It's like.
So what is it? It's a personal aircraft, right? But they can't qualify it as an aircraft. But have you seen the lean angle when that thing is flying? it's like it's over 45 degrees. It's like,
yeah.
Actually, I think it's right about 45 degrees.
Well,
so it's, you're like facing forward.
When you said a drone, it really, I mean, because it flies like a drone. It has four propellers.
Yeah.
It has a front wing and then four more in the back. It uses a lot of lift technology and things like that that, make it kind of swoopy and cool.
They're cool looking, and the neat thing about the drone technology is that each propeller has variable speeds and they can run independently. So they're really highly maneuverable and really really stable, I guess. But I don't know, man. My brain is not there yet. I mean, there's just so many foreseeable dangers, right? And this whole idea. I'd love to think that people are that responsible and organized that they could, pilot, I don't want to say fly, pilot these things in a responsible manner, but man, I don't know.
No, you're on my line of thinking right there, dude, where it's not the craft, it's the people,
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know they're trying to take
Go
a lot of...
Go decapitate some cows.
I know they're trying to take a lot of that away, by like saying that there's a home button that once it's programmed, it'll just fly autonomously. And there's
triple, right through the telephone line,
triple redundant controls, and it has a parachute in case something does happen. But the problem is it's the guy who flies over his neighbor's house and is going, "Hey man, hey, saw you in the backyard, thought I'd cool you off with my 12 fans," and he's screwing around and what
he sticks his hand in the fan to wave.
Yeah, or the guy, like you said, clips the tree and then it falls on the guy's family and shreds them all. It's like that's what people do. That's what people do. So we're gonna see what it's gonna, plus it only has a flight range of 25 miles. I know by air. But that's,
but it has to be in rural areas too.
Right.
It's got,
and only in good weather and only in the daylight. And
I think in Canada or something is the only one that's a little more lenient and has a better range. But in the U.S., it's like it was so restricted. It's like you go up in the air, you go to the edge of your property, and you come back in between battery life and distance. That's all.
I think what we should do is we get them and we paint them flat black, and then you and I fly around with black Ray-Bans on, black suits, white shirts, and black ties, and we just, excuse us, we're men in black, we're here to check on some
things. Yeah.
We'll just do
that. We hear you have an alien in your closet.
Hey.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it, but I want that thing to have a bubble on it. That's all I can say. Protect me in any way possible.
So, well, I guess we won't be flying to any shows soon, but maybe one day we will. And there's a bunch of shows coming up. August is always one of those. Now, we were talking about Hot August Nights, which is like crazy. It's from August 3rd to August 12th. I mean, it starts on a Friday, goes all the way, and as this show is airing, it's halfway through. And that's all it is halfway through. Now, you're going on Tuesday with Torchbait, you said, right?
Yeah, I'll be at the GSR with Dad's Woody Wagon. We'll be building live. We'll be doing an episode of the Design Cut Build show. So we just literally today shot the finale, but we're going to put that somewhere in between because it's more current. And we're going to be building some displays for Dad's Beach Bar Rum. So I'm actually really excited. It's going to be a long
work. And you're building a sign for the studio, right?
Well, we actually built an award. Yeah, we built an award, which is going to be an episode, and we're going to kind of finish up that episode live.
And you're going to be where, at what hotel?
At the Grand Sierra Resort at the GSR. So,
which is right at the convergence of all those freeways.
Yep.
And they always have the big stage there. They've got a car show there. All kinds of stuff going on. So, it's easy to find. Ask anybody where the Grand Sierra is. Now, there's also shows just going on everywhere. There's drag races. There's there's car shows. There's parties. There's concerts. There's car auctions. Everything. And it's all going on. Go look for Aaron up there. But the other stuff that's going on is August 18th. is the Woodward Dream Cruise. Now, Aaron, have you ever?
Oh yeah.
You ever gone back to that?
No, I've heard about it though. Yeah.
It is kind of like Reno in that it starts, you know, the week before and builds up to the Woodward Dream Cruise, where probably 20 different municipalities in the Detroit area have different car shows, different parties, and, you know, it just keeps growing, and it is cool. I went back there one year. I took a couple of my cars back to be displayed, and it was a blast. It's so many cool muscle cars and so many cool hot rods and bikes and the people. It's just the Midwest. It is so cool.
Oh yeah, and that's a hub for automotive too. So I bet you there's some great stuff to see there.
Right, Detroit is.
Yeah. Well, it used to be.
No, and that's the cool thing is that if you go there for a vacation, there's not this great event going on, but you can also go to like the Henry Ford Museum and some of the plants. You can do all kinds of stuff, and that's another great one. But then it all kind of culminates August 17th. Yes, there is some overlap there, but August 17th. I think everything's got to be a week long now. Because starting August 17th, that's the official kickoff of Monterey Car Week. Now,
oh, that's right. That's coming up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
They do.
I don't think we're going this year. I don't think we're doing the Quail this year.
It's I'm not doing
the schedule, but
I'm not doing it this year either. I got some other stuff going on, and it kills me. And what kills me is I keep getting invites to all these cool parties and stuff. And like, I got a thing from Lamborghini yesterday. Oh, we're having this great party. We'd love you to come. And then we're going to drive into the hills in the new such and such. And I'm like going, yeah, I must decline. I'm not coming to Monterey this year.
You know? So you're not going to drive the new Lamborghini SUV? You're not going to drive it?
Not yet. So, but no, it all kicks off August 17th, and that's really but it's a classic car show. Then they have the pre-reunion race the weekend ahead, and I mean, 300 cars show up for that and race. But you and I know that it really kicks off Wednesday with McCall Motorworks. That's how I that's when I always think of it opening up, you know.
The Motorsport Gathering. Quail.
Then the auctions start. And then you have Quail. And then you have you know, the 17-mile drive. And it's it's incredible. It's almost too much. It really is, because
it is. There's rallies. There's all these clubs at different golf course and locations, and then you have the historics. I mean, and then I think the stuff is in Hollister this year too, and there's some off-road stuff in Hollister.
Yes, and
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
And you know, my
next thing you know, they'll have offshore boating.
Oh, they should.
Right?
Why not? And you know, My co-host on Man Seeks Adventure, Dave Merrick, now he's one of the official judges at the Concours d'Elegance in Pebble Beach. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it has been 3 or 4 years, and that's quite an honor to be one of those judges.
Yeah, no doubt. That's
and
a big deal.
I do want to toot my own horn, because even though I'm not going this year, I was asked to judge. I was asked to judge at the Concours des Le Mans.
The Concours de Lemons.
And I had to decline again because I'm not going, but that would have been fun. Have you ever been to that one?
No, but I've heard about that
it's
too. And
so
I
much
definitely
fun.
Have some cars that would do well there.
Yes, and it's so much fun because guys build these cars just to bring them to this park where they do this at. And like I saw one year a 944 Porsche, and the guy had built this giant whale tail out of wood, and it came off the car like about a foot on either side, went back like 4 foot with these big struts, and he had redone the stripe on the bottom, and it didn't say Porsche, it said Porcha, like a back porch. And it's just the kind of quirky stuff people do. And it was hilarious. And then, you know, I saw some other people there. Our buddy, and his name is escaping me, he's been on the show many times, he has a show on Velocity where he gosh, Aaron, this is bad.
Wait, Mike Brewer? Wait.
Not Mike Brewer. White hair, and he's from the East Coast, and he deals in collectible cars, And his name
is Wayne Carini.
Wayne Carini. Thank you. Man, how could that not come to me? Well, Wayne Carini was there the last time I was there.
That's right. He bought a car from Doty and took it down there. Our friend Doty Fayette.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
And he just bought it just so he had something to drive there. And that's the fun stuff people do. And that's the other side. Because you on one side of town, you have these people that are like, yes, that is my $45 million such and such. And we flew in our G3. And we're having dinner catered in tonight, 5-star resort. And then you got the guys who are staying in
my $45.
Yeah, who's like, you paid how much? You paid $50. Way too much, dude. Way too much. So, but you know what? One thing that you don't pay too much for? Can you tell my voice changed? That we're switching?
Yes.
Because everybody has a favorite pair of jeans. The pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever, even Pebble Beach. They're the go-to. Do not underestimate their importance. No one knows better.
I just tea-stained some last night in a pot of Lipton tea.
All right. Well, no one knows this better than somebody who's bothering our show by calling in. Right in the middle of an ad read. So I'm going to tell you, nobody knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans. Using their expertise in comfort and durability and applying it to a new line of modern fits and styles, Wrangler jeans are made for the modern-day adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or you're calling into the middle of a show, you're the type who walks the earth in search of something that these jeans are. Okay, man, I'm really messing this up because you know what? it just got me. This guy calling in the middle of the show. So I'm going to take this right from here. Wrangler jeans are made for the modern-day adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving, whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard. They're the type who walks the earth in search of something. These jeans are for you. Classic or modern styles, a range that fits at a price that works for you. Vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. And don't forget the iconic patch. And our Stitch W, American icons for over 70 years. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world. Wow, I made it through that, Aaron, without being interrupted again. How was that?
There you go. Sorry.
Jeez, I was like going, are you kidding me? Right in the middle of the Wrangler read. Don't they know? That's an American icon. You don't interrupt the American icon of Shift and Steer, but let alone the American W. So I wonder if they ever tried to get George W. Did he ever wear Wrangler jeans so they could have a W on the back of his jeans?
I don't know. He might have. He seems like a Wrangler jeans kind of guy.
Well, he's definitely like a jeans guy and a ranch guy.
Yeah.
That would have been an
exactly.
awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
You know he wasn't wearing Pepe jeans.
Made for W. So, all right. Hey,
what else we got?
That's about it, man. We got to get going. I got to head to Arizona. You got to head somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm back to filming. So,
all right, get that film done. So, hey, tell us where they can find your Torchmate TV shows online.
All right, so online right now, it's on YouTube. So, if you go to Torchmate's YouTube channel, you will see it there. We're dropping every 2 weeks on Tuesday. So the day this airs, it will be dropping episode 4.
Awesome.
On Torchmate. Yeah, and it's fun stuff. It's just a fun show. You know, it's a little instructional, it's a little product, but mostly it's just fun. And tune in.
And if you're going to Reno's Hot August Nights, don't forget Grand Sierra Hotel. Aaron will be there. He'll be filming, making signs, doing stuff. And he is going to have 200 Shift and Steer shirts to give away to the first. Oh, is that not right?
Oh, hey, if you ship them to me, I'll be happy to give them away.
Okay, scratch that. Just go over and talk to them and say hi. We don't have those kind of budgets. Despite all these ads, you'd think we had those kind of budgets, but we don't because we got all these ads. We just never get paid for them. So maybe one of these days we'll actually get paid for them. But,
yeah, that would be nice.
That would be. So anyways, hey, remember, you can find us at shiftandsteer.com, where you can get every show, all the back episodes, photo galleries. I'm sure Aaron will send us some photos from Hot August Nights so that we can post those on there.
Absolutely.
All these cars Absolutely. We drive, we put up photo galleries. Go there, check it out, but also visit us on Instagram, and you can find us at Shift Steer Media there in Twitter, and you can find me at Brad Fanshaw on Shift... Geez, I can't even get that right. Brad Fanshaw on Twitter and on Facebook. But on Instagram, I'm Bradley_Fanshaw. And go there, because that's where I put up most of my stuff. Put up car stuff and Mansix Adventure stuff and stuff about George the Dog.
Mike Brewer stuff.
Mike Brewer stuff. All kinds of stuff. And, and hey, I don't want you to forget that if you like my show, you're going to love Revenge of the Jocks with Martellus Bennett. Join Super Bowl champ Martellus Bennett as he covers a broad spectrum of what it means to be creative, to be an activist, and an overall culture-shaping world changer. He's no one-trick pony. Listen free to this show each week, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love this show, which you better be loving this show because you're listening to it, share it with a friend and leave a rating and review. And in honor of self-improvement, you may also like the Dr. Drew Show, the Jordan Harbinger Show, or the Good Life with Steve and Sazon, only on Podcast One. Hey, Aaron, I always wonder when I read these, do you think that Dr. Drew's telling people to listen to Shift and Steer?
I don't think so.
Do you think Jordan?
I know our friend John Taffer is.
But what about Jordan Harbinger or Good Life with Stevie and Cezanne or Revenge of the Jocks? You think the Jocks are going, hey, man, Aaron Hagar and Brad Fanshaw rock. You got to go listen to them right now. Like them and share them. So they better be. They better
be. I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
Anyways.
But, you know, I have to tell you real quick. So I've been talking to a few people who've been listening to the show, and they've been going back and listening to old shows, and we were having conversations, and I said, oh, you should go back and listen to this one, or you should go back and listen to that one. And I have to say, it's really easy to navigate, you know, and find out, like when I said talk to this person, whoever's doing the descriptions, if that's you, Brad, or if that's Rick, they're doing a really good job, because I found a description and a name in that description really, really easy. My point being is that it's really easy to navigate to old episodes. So if we're talking about, oh, we did this episode and it was so-and-so, I found it in the search really quickly and really easily, and I was really impressed by that. So
good,
I want to compliment whoever's doing that.
That's Rick. He literally listens to every show and makes notes as he's listening, so that he can do really great descriptions. And the website, we put a lot into the website. And, you know, you always wonder how many people go there, because you can go there and, you know, like, look up, if you just want to hear the very first year of shows, 1 to 25, 25 to 50, 52, you know. And then, like you said, go through and you can look at, and you can look at all the posters that, you know, you can look at that poster and pretty much know what's going to be talked about on that show, you know?
Yeah, so you know I'm a fan of Rick, and he does amazing work. So my compliments once again, because I personally had to navigate and find something in a timely manner, and it was really easy. So I want to make sure to say that on the air.
Well, I appreciate that.
Good job.
And, and I hope the new guy that's replacing Rick next week is going to do as good a job. But I did have to let Rick go because he wanted a raise. And this new guy I got at minimum wage. And
I thought you were serious for a second. I was getting a little worried. I think you made the doors extra short so you could walk through and Rick can't.
That's right.
So I think he's stuck in there.
Yeah. I think he thinks so, too. I think he's been here.
Or Matt could walk through. I meant to say so Matt could walk through.
I literally think Rick has worked for me 18 years. 18.
He's awesome.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. So, hey, everybody.
He is awesome.
Thanks for listening.
All right.
And we'll be back next week. And find Aaron out at Hot August Nights. And if you want to come by and see the show live sometime, just hit us up on, you want to ask us a question, hit us up. You can hit us up on social media or anytime at shiftandsteer@gmail.com. So anyways, all right, Aaron, have fun.
All right.
I am jealous that I'm not coming up this year.
All right.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Have fun. All right, bye. Thanks,
all right,
everyone.
Bye-bye.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.